Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 927 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, April the 15th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. And of course, please make sure to subscribe to, rate, review, follow, whatever your podcast app of choice says to do to podcasts. Do it for Locked On Raptors. It's very appreciated when you show your support, and it's entirely free to do, and it takes like 3 seconds. So thanks in advance for taking the time. If you have already done it, I'm forever indebted to you, and thanks again. All right. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Locker Room, who are changing the way we talk about sports. Download the app and join me today, 5 o'clock, with Big V, Vivek Jacob, as we're going to take your questions in a Raptors-themed Locker Room. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. All right, on today's show, we are diving into a very fun Toronto Raptors win, 117-112, over the San Antonio Spurs on Wednesday night. The vibes were right. Kem Birch continues to be an absolute godsend for all of his competent center minutes. Malachi Flynn having some good times out there running the offense. OG Anunoby with a nice one. Utah, Freddie Gillespie, Gary Trent Jr.'s fit. It's all looking pretty good right now for the Raptors as they kind of move into, I think, a different phase of this season, and I'm kind of relishing that phase. And we'll get all into it with today's guest, who is one of our favorites. Writes for, of course, Basketball Feelings and Dime, and co-hosts Basketball with me, Katie Heindel. What's going on?
Hi, Betty. Not much. Just sipping on my coffee, thinking about what a nice game that was last night.
It really was a nice game, and, you know, I kind of alluded there that I think they've kind of moved into this sort of new phase, and I that's kind of my biggest takeaway from this one, is this one really felt like the page has been turned. The team doesn't really seem all that bothered about what happens when it comes to the playoff chase, and ultimately, that sort of losing of inhibitions might end up with them in the playoff chase again, but, you know, that's kind of a good thing. They clearly are leaning into development. Nick Nurse said before the game that development's the number one priority. You know, Malachi Flynn, as the only available point guard in this game, plays 32 minutes. I thought he'd play like 44, but he was still quite good, you know, doing the thing where he runs the offense and sets people up and gets steals, and he continues to impress. And it just, yeah, it feels like they're no longer burdened by all the shit that's gone on this season, and they just kind of seem like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. We'll do some development. If we get out of here early and get to leave Tampa Bay forever, you know, a couple months before we'd like to, then that's fine. And if we make the playoffs, hey, that's fun. It'll be a cool little experience for the play-in game. Katie, am I crazy? Did you sort of sense a change in the tenor and tone of the team last night as well?
Maybe, but for different reasons than you, because I do think when you've got all these new guys coming in, you can't look at it like a doom and gloom scenario, because like what kind of, you know, like what kind of, I was going to say work ethic, but also just like life ethic are you then instilling in them that the team is all about? You know what I mean? Like you can't, I'm sure Fred and OG and Pascal and Kyle are all still just like, they don't like losing, but you have a bunch of new, mostly young guys coming in, and it's like, all right, we've also got to give them kind of the best experience that we can offer and show them like what our team is. And I think it, to your point, maybe in switching the focus on that, it has kind of like nicely circumnavigated the doom and gloom, but then in the same way, kind of taking the pressure off, but then, you know, inevitably that's going to improve playing like overall, because you're not dwelling on what a miserable season it's been so far. You're just kind of focusing on what's like immediately at hand. And like, you know, incremental changes like that add up to very big changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think they're also certainly helped by the fact that they're not playing any notably terrible players anymore.
And yeah, you know. Oh, man. It's weird. I never thought I would feel sorry for him, but, like, Baines is a ghost now. Where did he go?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're never going to see him on the bench. He's hidden under the arena. They keep him in
They've
a room.
Buried
I
him.
Think.
Yeah. He's in a vault in the basement of Tampa's arena. The Lightning will discover him one day in 2024. I was watching the Grizzlies last night, Katie, and they're like this team that has no bad players, all these like draft darlings that people love that they get in like the late first round and the second round. And,
yeah,
you know, it just really is helpful to. Mm-hmm. It's helpful to have a bunch of sweethearts who aren't bad at playing basketball. And last night, save for the 5 Stanley Johnson minutes, I would say the Raptors played the entire game without playing a bad basketball player. And as it turns out, just kind of knowing where you should stand and knowing your role and being able to execute what you need to do will have great results. And, you know, it's not like they blew the Spurs out or anything like that. And the Spurs are kind of going through it, and they've been in a bit of a difficult slide. They've had a similar sort of COVID derailment to their season that's sort of driven things down in the back half of the year for them. But it was really nice to watch lineups where there's not one glaring, oh, no, that guy's on the floor. Uh-oh, this is going to be – or those two guys are on the floor. Uh-oh, this is going to be bad. And instead, it's just – you know, they're finding new combinations. They seem to have figured out the center rotation with Kem Birch and Freddie Gillespie just taking swaps and playing, you know, 29 minutes for Kem, Gillespie with 19. If that's the center rotation for the rest of the season with maybe a little bit of small ball mixed in for crunch time and stuff like that, once they presumably get some health back in order, then you've kind of figured that out, which has been it's such a small thing. But it has really derailed a lot of this season. It's just not knowing who's playing center night to night and not being able to rely upon Chris Boucher to play center or not being able to count on OG and Siakam to play in the front court because they're so overburdened by minutes and responsibility and also injury and COVID. It's really nice to have those steady dudes who will grab rebounds, grab offensive rebounds, stop the other team from grabbing offensive rebounds. It's a tiny little thing. But apparently it's enormous, and it kind of makes you wonder.
I mean, I would argue, pun intended, it's a big thing.
Yes.
But it also is a big thing because, like,
oh, totally, yeah.
You can retrospectively look back now and be like, holy shit, like the loss of Mark and Serge. I want to also point out, who said this would be very bad for the Raptors? Me. I did all along. But it became just like this thorn in the side of the team all season long, aside from all the other thorns of like the pandemic thorn and like being stuck in Tampa thorn and injury thorn. But like the original thorn of just like not having a usable player to play in that position because it frees up so much like Chris Boucher and just like OG, like a lot of guys that were getting kind of stuck and plugged in there just because of their physicality and relative size. Like they're like not even huge, but just like, oh, you're big enough that this could possibly work. Now all that is alleviated and they're free to shoot and run around and just like function as they want to and do best on the team.
Your point stands. I will sort of push back a little, though, and say the fact that Kem and Freddie Gillespie have come in and looked so competent and have kind of stabilized things so quickly here does kind of lend credence to the point I had that, you know, losing Gasol and Ibaka, while bad, you could fill in that production with a reasonable center, and Aaron Baines just wasn't that. I think when he was signed, it was totally fair to think, oh yeah, he can do what Kem Birch has done in the first two games here, the first three games, and he just totally undershot every expectation, except for yours, because you were on how much you hated that signing to begin with, so congrats to you, Katie. But like, this is exactly what I was talking about in that it can be just a mercenary position where, yeah, you lose a lot with Gasol and Ibaka. And I think even more so, you lost in the vibes off the court with those guys. But if you did find reasonable, capable bigs who don't do anything flashy, but can just, you know, do the things that standard bigs are supposed to do, you can get by. And look, they're getting by now. And it's only a couple games.
But push
back
on that argument and argue that listen to yourself because the expectation now is passable, like usable and passable, which are words that we did not equate with that position in previous seasons.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's different to have,
oh, sure,
to have like a very skilled defensive, like almost playmaker and like personality there and available to you who is going to like round out the team in a really different way and things kind of flow through them than having like a passable. I mean, I'm all for the passability at this point. I'm like desperate for it. But it's interesting when you think of just like, oh, our expectations have fully changed.
Well, and look, I think it's also worth noting that I'm not saying you start next season with Kem Birch as your starting center. I think he's a perfect backup to have. And you go into the season with him and Freddie Gillespie as your number two and three centers, and you're cooking with fire. They still need to find a more than passable starting center, Miles Turner. But, you know, they're in a better place now. And I was talking about this yesterday when we did the podcast with Josh Hart, and I was kind of thinking about this last night, going through my notes app where I have the depth chart for next season kind of plotted out because I'm lame. And it's a much more fun doc to go to because there's dudes who kind of fit in, and now you can see the pieces falling into place, and you know they get their first round pick to throw into the mix and potentially some sort of addition, and you're looking at a team that doesn't have bad players in a lot of ways, and that's very, very exciting. Speaking of not having bad players, the Raptors, I think, have kind of worked towards the idea of not having bad players through their development. And I do want to dive into some fun developmental instances and sort of trends that are going on right now that we saw kind of come to bear last night against the Spurs. We'll get to that in just 1 second. But first, I want to tell you all about our friends over at rockauto.com who are saving you money on car parts the way the mechanic does not want you to save money on car parts. They're going to try to charge you the full price, whereas you can save up to 30, 50, 100% off of the exact same parts when you go to rockauto.com. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything you need, from the important stuff for your engine, transmission, whatever it might be, or the aesthetic things like carpets, whether it's for your classic or your daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is so easy to navigate. I'm a big dumb dummy, and I can find the car parts I need, even though I know nothing about cars, in like 2 seconds flat. You just type in your year, make, model, and the parts that you need, and they will send you all sorts of different options with different brand specifications and prices. And the prices are always reliably low at rockauto.com, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you as well. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you'll ever need at rockauto.com. All right, just a heads up, programming note. On Friday, I'm taking the day to kind of unplug, and with no game recap, I will be not posting a podcast tomorrow, but we'll be back again on Monday with a full week of shows and potentially some fun guests next week. So keep an eye out there, as I think the schedule kind of lightens up and it's not game recap time for every single episode, which will be nice. So let's dive in here, Katie. I mentioned before the break development and things that were exciting to me from the Spurs game. I want to talk about OG Anunoby, who in this game had 22 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, perfect from the line on 4 attempts. It was just a really nice OG game, and I think the real standout thing is they are just saying, all right, OG, we don't have any point guards available. You go ahead and you run some pick and roll, and you try to create off the bounce a little bit. It's looking pretty good. I got to say, you know, obviously there are some hiccups here and there. We've seen it in the last few games, his efficiency kind of going a little bit down, but for the most part, he's gaining comfortability. He's finding chemistry with his pick and roll partners. He, I believe, set up Kem Birch for a nice little pick and roll finish in this game. And he just really seems to be kind of getting a little bit more comfortable with the ball in his hands in a more predominant role, which, of anything to take from the rest of this season, I might argue that OG kind of spreading his wings as a guy with the ball in his hands is maybe the most important for what the team can be going forward from here. Would you agree, Katie? And how are you enjoying the OG Anunoby ball handling experience?
Well, I also know he's feeling good and he's back because he's got jokes again and he has like a person to play. He's got a person to play off of, which is like how we actually know he has jokes. Otherwise, we would never know. So I was happy to see his post-game on-air comments about being copied once again. But I think, this is something we've talked about before. I have always kind of mourned the season that OG didn't get to have about 2 seasons ago, I guess, when he had a terrible personal season and was really going through it with injury as well. And he didn't get the kind of runway that Fred, and Siakam got. And then likewise, 2 seasons ago, the championship run. Jesus, my brain. Yeah.
He lost his job to Kawhi.
Yeah, he lost his job to Kawhi. He didn't get the experience of like that very, not just like the title run, but I think the long stretch, the long and torturous stretch of the playoffs entirely. And I think that just like helped to develop and carve out the roles and game of his counterparts, you know, and he didn't get that stretch in the same way. And I have always been kind of waiting for him to just like hit his stride. And he didn't get it last season because of the bubble, though he was incredible in the bubble. There was like a stop in the season as well. So it sucks that it's in this season, which is also not smooth sailing. But I do agree with you that I think it's probably one of the most important things, probably the most important development story for the team.
Yeah, it's either that or Malachi Flynn becoming like a surefire rotation guy next season, which is going to, I think,
but I mean, Flynn, I think, I look at it as like
Kyle and Fred.
Flynn's got years still. Yeah, like Flynn has time. Like he's got plenty of time to figure that out. And OG is kind of like owed it.
Yeah. And he's going to be, you know, he's going to be paid as a higher level guy on the roster as of next season as well. And I feel like any extra creation you can throw into this mix is just going to help alleviate things for Pascal a little bit too and make it so he's carrying less of a burden. If instead of him having to drive, I think it's something crazy right now. It's like he's driving like 25 times a game the last month or whatever it is. Like if you can trim that down and force him to, you know, and it's not to say that you don't want Pascal running possessions because he does run possessions quite well and things usually tend to go quite nicely when he is creating for the team. But any extra alleviation on that burden for Pascal, I think, is going to be super helpful. And look, we don't know what they're going to get in the draft or in free agency. Maybe they bring in some sort of ball handling threat to sort of alleviate that as well. But if you have, in theory, a lineup where you've got, you know, Gary Trent showing a little bit of juice with the ball in his hands, OG now kind of spreading his wings a little bit, getting comfortable with that. Obviously, you know, Fred, if Kyle's back, Malachi Flynn, you go from, this was a team that started the season with maybe 3 guys who could run a possession and kind of you could trust to sort of execute the offense. If you can get that up to 5 or 6, that just, it makes everything easier. It makes those in-between lineups where you have starters on the bench a lot easier to get by with. It's just a really a valuable thing to have. Creation is like the most important thing in basketball, basically. And for the Raptors to be sort of massaging those skills for OG and just allowing him to kind of take his lumps and make some mistakes here and there, but also show those really tantalizing flashes, it is kind of the perfect way to close out this season. And if the Raptors go on and make the postseason, which they are only a game back of the Bulls as the Bulls keep on losing, they lost to the Magic last night. If they pass the Bulls and get into the play-in, whatever happens there, maybe they move up to the 8th seed and it's great and you get a first-round series. Maybe they lose and they can't quite move up. But whatever happens there, if they get there through what they did last night, which is leaning into development, you know, counting on Flynn and OG and Siakam and, you know, not playing Fred and Kyle when they're back 40 minutes each, I think ultimately that's a win, and any lottery balls you lose out on, which would be all of them if they make the playoffs proper, you know, that's totally worth it to me to see those guys kind of flourish and succeed kind of ahead of the curve, honestly, and get them into the postseason. The last 16, like if they do, that'll mean the last 16 games were super fun to watch, and they went on a nice little run here. And it's a nice place to be, Katie. I've lost all caring of where things end up. I'm just kind of worried about the how things end up wherever they do. Are you kind of in the same boat?
Yeah, I kind of gave up. I've given up expectations for a little while now, mostly because I still feel like there's no point or purpose to busting your back to get to that play-in spot if you're not going to have a deep run, especially when you look at just like how hurt and like how much stuff this team has gone through this season. Any team too. Like I get, this isn't just for the Raptors. I feel like there's only about six teams like total in the league set to kind of thrive in the playoffs just by virtue of the depth that they currently have, of which could go sideways at any point. To your point about the like not having a draft picked if they do make the playoffs, obviously that is upsetting to some people, but I also think there is some virtues to that, because what you're essentially doing with like these new pickups, if you keep all of them or any of them, is you're now testing, you know, you're testing them in real time in a way that you wouldn't necessarily get with a draft pick. Like the draft is like, even in a draft as like, you know, hallowed as this one is purported to be, like it's still very untested and you're still kind of staking your franchise future on a pick, and a lot of pressure on those like young players. So I think this is the way the Raptors have always sort of positioned themselves and gotten a lot better by virtue of just development. So I kind of like this as a move. And if we can get a couple more, I say a couple more, man, our expectations have really changed. If we can get more games like last night, where everyone's just kind of playing free and loose and like a bit experimentally and like allowed to do that and has the room to do that, and then we see the fantastic results of it, I'm for that. Like that seems to me like a silver lining to what has been a pretty bleak season.
Yeah, like I'm totally with you. They shouldn't bust their asses to get there. The payoff is not worth it. And, you know, if Kyle and Fred come back and Nick Nurse is playing them 41 minutes each, I'm going to have a problem with that. I think that will be a bad idea. But yeah, if they get there through the same process that they did last night, sure, that's fun. That's like ultimately a win that your development has, you know, had results this early, and it's something to build upon. And you're still going to get like somewhere between the 15th and 18th pick probably, which is still a good place to be picking in this draft. There are lots of good players available and they'll sort it out. And, you know, this team has the pieces to be good next year regardless, and, you know, assuming normal circumstances, which maybe it's a lot to assume normal circumstances in Ontario, but that's, I think, probably the right philosophy going towards the end of the season. Speaking of more development, Katie, I got two guys I want to ask you about on the other side, Freddie Gillespie and Yuta Watanabe. We'll get to them in just 1 second and their progression and their futures with the team. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows like the Oscars. They're coming up. Put your money down on the Oscars. I don't even know who's up for Best Picture because no movies came out this year, but still, go
Nomadland.
There you go. Real-time updated odds and props and almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get that 50% welcome bonus. All right, Katie, let's round this thing out. I want to talk about Freddie Gillespie and Yuta Watanabe because they both played prominent roles last night. 9 points, 8 boards for Gillespie, 11 points, 4 boards for Yuta Watanabe, who's becoming emboldened, Katie, to fire away from three, and he's doing so to excellent results. Let's start with Yuta. He's been kind of up and down this season in terms of his role within the team. His offensive limitations have kind of been the limiting factor, I think. He is obviously a very good defender. He's a very smart defender. He knows exactly where to be. I feel like, you know, if you're thinking about guys who can fit into the Raptors' hyper-aggressive defensive scheme, Yuta Watanabe absolutely can be one of those guys. He's smart. He is excellent at stepping up into the right place, bringing help defense where it needs to come. He's great. Love Yuta. the offense, again, has been an issue. But the last few games here, he's kind of, I think, throwing away any inhibitions, kind of like the Raptors are as a whole, and just firing away. He had five attempts from three last night, hit three of them. He's been on a nice little run here recently where I think he's got like 50 points or something. He's averaging close to 10 points in the last 10 games, or last five games, that is. And he is just looking more comfortable as a guy who's not just a vehicle for passing the ball along in the offense, but can actually be a guy to finish. And that's important. He's still on a two-way. We're still unsure what the future of him is, but have you seen enough with Utah to be convinced that he should be part of this team next season, Katie?
Yeah, I really like him. I think that that defensive stretch that he had last night, that sequence where he, like, who was he on? Patty? Patty Mills, I think?
Yeah, it might have been Patty. It might have been Derek White. I don't know.
I think it was Patty Mills toward the end, and it was just, like, such a bright flash of, like, jarring my memory back to, like, oh, this is actual classic Raptors defense. You know what I mean? And we haven't seen that really much this season. But just, like, going crazy, and then also just, like, going the extra mile, you know, and just, like, being there, being stuck and, like, being in everyone's face. I liked it. He's got the length to do that. You know, he's super athletic. He's able to do that. And to, like, bounce back, get the fumbled ball and, like, run it back down the court. Like, I loved that. I would love to see more of that. I think with him, as you mentioned, it's like, I wouldn't blame him for this, that he hasn't necessarily found his offensive role, just because things have been shuffled around so much and it hasn't been clear necessarily what anyone, especially on the bench's offensive role has to be this season. So I think with some continuity, again, like, he'd do very well. It's also just, like, it's tough. You've got guys in and out with injuries and COVID, and you're kind of asked to step in and fill in where you have to. I think it's, like, an extremely essential learning tool, and it's going to make his game all the much, like, better and well-rounded in the long run. But for, like, the interim, for what they need him, I think it would just help probably for him to have some clarity and consistency. But I really like him. Like, I think he's just, like, he just showed up from day one ready to work and figure it out.
Yeah, totally. The thing, too, is there's, like, a very clear mold of player that he looks like he could be. I mean, the defense is already there. But, you know, the three-point shooting, like, there's a 3-and-D player in there, I think, somewhere. He hasn't had the gumption to put shots up a ton this season, and he's often passing out of wide-open threes and things like that until this recent run of play. And you don't want to get too carried away with what happens in the sort of backstretch of a lost season, but, you know, in the Raptors development pipeline with another offseason to kind of work on some things, there's definitely the sort of skeleton of a player who can really, you know, not be a negative for you offensively just because he is a threat to shoot threes. He's 39% from three this season, which, small sample, he's not doing it a ton, but that's something to build on. And you already have that defensive floor kind of built in, and the sort of wits and instincts that are really tough to teach. It's just kind of natural and just part of what he brings to the table. It's pretty exciting. And I think he has definitely played himself into an NBA contract. I'd hope they convert him similar to what they did with Paul Watson last year, where, you know, by the end of the season, it's like, oh, yeah, no, this guy looks like he's something. We're going to give him a 2-year deal and just kind of figure it out. I'd hope they do that with Watanabe. And I also hope they give a big, fat, nice 2-year minimum contract or whatever it is it'll take to get Freddie Gillespie to sign, because he looks like a player, Katie. He, you know, he's a very, like, interesting player, and he had some mistakes last night that were pretty, you know, pretty inexcusable, like, you know, not boxing out on a free throw, stuff like that. He's not exactly the most mobile guy in the world, but I would say the second quarter on, he was just rock solid, and it's just really nice to have a center back there who maybe doesn't have the choice to jump, but he doesn't, like, leap out of his shoes at any opportunity to go try to block a shot, like the way we've seen Aaron Baines and Chris Boucher do all season long. he's just sturdy. He knows his arms are like 7 feet, 11 inches wide, and he just maintains position. He's not afraid of drivers kind of coming in on him and, you know, like sort of snaking around him. He's just, no, you're going to run into me and I'm going to block your shot probably. It's a really nice thing to have. He, you know, the offensive glass was a huge thing for him last night, 5 offensive boards last night. Are you amazed by just the rebounding grabbing capabilities, Katie? They said, I think, a season high for rebounds last night, just because they have 2 centers on the roster now who can play. It's really nice. And Freddie Gillespie, you know, it's only been, 8 days since he signed his 10-day contract, and his 10-day is coming up pretty soon here. I would imagine he'll get at least another 10-day. He's looking like a piece, Katie. Are you on the Freddie Gillespie train?
Yeah, and as someone who's been like harping on rebounds all season long, it is very soothing to see it. I also think like this is another case where like Ita, like it's he when you say he's not boxing out after a free throw or other kind of like obvious things he needs to do, I think a lot of that is just getting back into game rhythm. Sure. And like at this speed, you know, and at like at this kind of tier. So I'm not really that worried about that. And for that reason alone is why I hope they extend him. Yeah, he's been wonderful. We should talk about his post game, which was just the most endearing thing, where he was just kind of voguing and moving around, and then he was asked JQ if he was on, and she was like, "Yeah, he's been on." And he was like, "Oh," and he was like, "I'm mirrored. This is so weird. I'm mirrored." And then when he said, I also like him because, as you said, like with his physicality and size, he's really unruffleable. Mm-hmm. And he said so kind of in his post game when he was asked if he minded getting dunked on. And he's like, "I didn't mind getting dunked on. I just didn't really like think it was an and one." And then he checked, because then he was like, "Oh, does that count as bad mouthing the refs?" He like asked again to JQ off camera, and she's like, "No." I mean, obviously getting fined on a 10-day is not ideal, but
no.
Yeah, I don't know. He's extremely endearing. And then I saw when the Raptors posted the clip of that this morning, he replied on Twitter and said, "This Zoom's different than my Zoom." which, like, I don't know. I love him. But he is just like, to me, what's been so nice and probably the reason why we don't mind where the team is like, once again, we've got a personality team. You know, we've got a team that is enjoying itself and having fun, and we want to hear what they say. And more than that, we want to hear what they say because they're interested again. You know, they're interested, they're engaged, they're like, they're just happy, which has been such a thing that's been missing all season.
Does any part of you feel bad that Aaron Baines and his removal from the rotation seems to coincide exactly with the team liking playing basketball again? It's been pile on Baines season all year long, but it's like pretty stark. Like, oh, he's out of the lineup. No one's getting mad at missed defensive rotations anymore and getting sad when he puts up threes with his foot on the line. I feel bad for the guy. I don't think we're going to see him again this season. He may not play another NBA game, frankly, but you can't not note that the shift in tenor kind of happened exactly when he was relegated to the bench.
I feel a little bit bad. I mean, I would feel worse if he didn't kind of like, I don't know. Maybe they also just stopped giving him avails, but like, there's a certain ownership that I think was lacking, and you could see him even when he played, he would just kind of like, almost the equivalent of like rolling his eyes or like shrugging his shoulders at like every kind of botched move. And it's like, dude, like you can't, this team, though they didn't look like it this much this season, it's not the kind of caliber of team where you can't have accountability. And I don't know, maybe it's just like a pure misfit. Like sometimes that happens. It's just a weird thing to happen. And again, like I've said this so many times, I feel like I could have it on a bumper sticker, but like he, for a mercenary style player that's played on as many style of teams, he was so inflexible and unable to just like shift into things. That's just like, to me, the weirdest thing that happened. But I don't know, maybe it was just a misfit.
Yeah, totally. I feel like that's a good place to leave it. Oh, one last note. Shout out to Paul Watson Jr. coming back after a long layoff.
Oh, man. So happy for him.
Yeah. Like, really sucked that his first real run of consistent NBA play was derailed by COVID and the protocols. And it was quite a while. He was at 11 games, longer than the rest of the guys missed last month. And hopefully he's doing well and is not suffering any sort of side effects or lingering side effects. Or we don't even know for sure if he had it, but I think you can kind of assume considering how long he was out. But yeah, it was lovely to see him back. Shout out to Kelsey O'Brien. Very glad to see Paul Watson back. And I made the point last night, if you're talking, 11 through 14 on a roster, Gillespie, Watanabe, Watson, DeAndre Bembry, you could do a lot worse in terms of next season and sort of building your depth. You know, you don't want those guys being your 7 through 10 guys, which is kind of what's been the case most of this season. But, you know, that as your back part of your roster, you're doing something right, I think. And it's not hard to envision the roster construction coming together as such that that's exactly how things take place. Like, I think the Raptors probably already have 14 of the guys that should be on the team next year already in place, which is very nice and cool. All right, Katie, we'll leave it there. We're going to skip the tankathon sim of the day today because we're not doing it after wins. Wins are nice, and we don't need to wallow in tank stuff and lottery balls. So we'll do that again after the next time the Raptors lose, which may be never now that they are having fun again. Maybe they go 16-0 to close the season and finish above 500 once again and make us all very happy. Who's to say, really, Katie? This season makes no sense. That seems just as likely as them losing every game from here on out as well. So, Katie, before we go, anything you want to plug?
I just, I'll plug it again just because unfortunately we're seeing this like compounded a lot these last couple weeks, but the contact tracing series I wrote for Dime, specifically the piece on soft tissue injuries and just the way that this season is impacting those, in a league that's already seen that increase year over year for like the last 10 years. You can find those on Dime or you can go to my Twitter profile at whatevs and they're pinned right at the top.
Excellent. Wonderful pieces on a very upsetting topic, frankly, but glad that you were the one to pen them because you did them the justice they deserve. You can find me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. Subscribe to your rate review wherever you get your podcast. It's always appreciated. Katie and I's other podcast, Basketball, has a very fun guest today. Kelly Dwyer, the basketball blogging legend himself, is going to be joining us on the 50th episode of Basketball here on Thursday. So please consider, listening to that and subscribing to that podcast and joining our Patreon feed and all that good stuff. Later today, 5 o'clock Eastern time, myself, Big V, doing a locker room chat and we'll take your questions on your Toronto Raptors. That should be fun as well. And that'll do it. We'll be back again on Monday. No episode again tomorrow. Note that programming note. We'll be back in on Monday with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Have a good weekend, everybody.